So it's great to have everybody here in this temporary location. It's great to have a shift of perspective and a shift of scenery. My goodness, it is gorgeous out here. We have no complaints. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we don't have a screen up here, so there's no video announcements, but there is just one very important announcement we want to make sure you know about. Because in 2 weeks, we are going to be having our last community care event of this year. It's going to be happening, I believe, November 9, Saturday, November 9. We're going to be having our community care event at The Source in Kaneohe. And if you would like to, and we hope that you would like to, participate in not just serving at the community care event, but also fasting and praying with us and preparing the soil of people's hearts who are going to be there to be able to minister the love of God and the gospel to them. Basically, when they come and we feed them, we're going to feed them a really nice catered meal, and we're going to offer to pray with them. We're going to preach the gospel to them. We're going to minister to their needs to the best of our ability, because to the glory of God, we exist to serve by showing the way. Amen. And the way is Jesus, right? So if you are going to plan on participating in the community care event with setup, with serving and breakdown and stuff, can I ask that you see Dani Carrico? Is she here in the tent? There she is. Dani Carrico, she has all the sign-up sheets. So please don't leave here today without giving your name to her and checking where you want to be serving in, all right? So that's in 2 weeks. Don't forget, all right? We are excited. Amen. Now, I have the awesome privilege of sharing what God downloaded to me not very long ago. And I consider myself a very simple, like very, very, very simple person. And so for God to get something across to me, it has to be simple. So he did that for me, and I'm very thankful. And I'm hoping to get that across to you very simply also. But this morning, I want to share about what the Bible says regarding tithing specifically, and how God gets abundance to you through obedience to his word by tithing, because tithing is a commandment of God, or excuse me, tithing is not a verb. It is a noun. So returning the tithe, the 10% to the Lord, is a commandment in the Bible that we get to participate in the blessing as a result of. So can I have my 10 volunteers who offered to volunteer just come up to the stage, and I'm going to hand you something. For you. Oh, so you don't get. Yeah. Just hold on to it. So just hold on to this pile. Don't eat it. Okay, hold on to that. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can eat it after. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And then Elizabeth, yeah. All right, so the people with the crackers, come over here. Come this side, yep. Oh, by the way, the title of this message is I Like the Cracker. Yeah. Okay, so according to Malachi, you guys should know this verse really well. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. So I looked up that word meat, and I was thinking there's got to be a special, you know, whatever complicated definition. It just means food, meat, sustenance, okay? So bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, okay? So these guys represent the people bringing their tithe to the storehouse. They each have 10 crackers, if I counted correctly. Oh, sorry, she has somebody's one. They got mixed up. But so they should have 10 crackers each, and that represents bringing all that they have, the 100% that they have, and they're going to give one to me because I'm going to represent the Levite, okay? So a little bit of just backstory. Levites were the priests and the pastors of God's people. They didn't work any other jobs. They were devoted to serving the Lord and God's people. So God set up the tithe so that the Levites would be able to survive on the tithe the people brought to the storehouse or to the church, so that the Levites could give their lives to serving the Lord and to his people. Okay, so I'm going to represent the Levite, and they're going to bring their tithe, and the Levite is receiving the tithe. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, McKenna. Thank you, Lanakila. Thank you, Gabby. Thank you, Elizabeth. And thank you, Hunter. Okay, so you can see they have nine, or they should have, nine crackers left in their hand, and I have what they've given to me. So now there can be meat in my house because they've given to me to sustain me as a Levite, and I have food to eat, okay? So, yes. So Pastor Jake and I and our family are very, very, very thankful that you bring your tithe in obedience to God's word, not on our commandment, not because we ask for it, not because we command it, but because God says, and your obedience blesses our family because we have food to eat because of you. So thank you, every single one of you. Thank you. Thank you for the cracker. Okay, stay there. Stay there. All right? So if you read on in Malachi 3:10, it says, after bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Amen? There is meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So how many crackers do you guys have in your hand? Nine crackers, okay? So this scripture is the word of God. So God is speaking to his people. He's saying, prove me, test me. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain it and there won't be enough room to receive. So Pastor Jake is going to represent the Lord. He is a God to me. I'm just kidding. So God has this abundant supply. And when these people are obedient to the word of the Lord, they still got their nine crackers, and God has more. But as they've obeyed, it releases him to be able to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. So you can't, no. He's going to literally pour out a blessing that you won't be able to receive it. So go for it. Not on their head, but like in their hands. So hold out your hands. They are not going to be able to receive it. Okay? Just what you can hold. There we go. Okay? There's supposed to be stuff on the ground, so just hold on, okay? God is still pouring out the blessing. Too much to contain. So much they can't receive it. There's more than enough. Okay? So check this out. God showed this to me. He said, not only do they have more than they contain, but look at this. Look at all this extra. Okay, so where's Eli? He saw the crackers this morning. He's like, Auntie, when can we have crackers? Now. Go, go, go. So if you guys want crackers, come pick up the crackers. Come and get it. Come and get it. Come and get it. There's more than enough, okay? There's more than enough. Come on, kids. Come on, kids. Good job. Good job. Go for it, go for it, go for it. Good job. It's fine, it's fine. That's awesome. So as you can see, not only did the ones who brought their tithe get more than enough, so much more that they couldn't contain it, there was so much left over that more people were blessed. And the abundance that got poured into their lives was so much more that I saw people walking around with huge stacks of crackers. So I just wanted that to be an illustration. And this is just a small portion of what God actually does for us. He gives us so much abundance that we have enough to even give from what we have in our hand to other people to sustain them, to provide food, to provide meat for what their needs are. Amen? All right. So, okay, stay there. Stay there. It doesn't end there. There's more. Okay. Malachi 3:11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So, okay, Jason is representing the devourer. Dun, dun, dun. And he says,
I want the cracker.
So he's going to try to take from their abundance and the abundance that they have to give other people. But God is going to say,
You know, can have the cracker.
So when the enemy sees the abundance, he's like, oh, I'm going to take what they have, and I'm going to take the extra so they can't bless other people. God says, no, you cannot have the cracker. He says he rebukes the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And when God speaks, there is nothing that can stand against him. We sing songs about it. Our God is incredible, and he is our provider. He gives us more than enough so that we can bless others. He provides for our needs as well as he provides for the Levites. So I just wanted to give that short little demonstration to show you what the Word of God is in practice. And this is, again, just a small scale of our God and how abundant and huge that he blesses us. Amen? All right. Thank you, volunteers. Woohoo! You can have the cracker.
Yes. All right. So I just wanted to add one thing. This is such an amazing message. And for some of you math geniuses out there, you might be thinking, well, there were 10 people, and each of the 10 people gave one of their crackers to the Levites, and now, wow, look at that. Everybody only had 9, and the Levites got 10. That's not how it's supposed to work. How come they get more? They didn't even do anything for it. But you know that the Levites also tithe. So the Levites take their tithe, their one cracker, and they give that to the high priest. And so just so that you know, we tithe. And we don't tithe back to ourselves. That's not how this thing works. We don't recycle the tithe or something like that. We're not into reduce, reuse, recycle when it comes to the tithe. We actually have people that speak into our lives as pastors that are oversight over us, that our tithe goes to them. And so it continues on, and those people are blessed as the high priest in our lives. And then we also have 9 as well. But how many of you know that the Lord opens the windows of blessing over the Levites also? Amen. So I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Jolie. I just thought that some people might want to know how that works.
Amen. Our God is awesome. So this morning, we are going to receive the tithe that you are returning to the Lord happily and with joy. And I know that you guys all have, like the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. I know you guys all have cheerful hearts in giving to the Lord because you understand the blessing that comes as a result. So we don't have fancy baskets this morning. We have a bucket. So bring the bucket. And we are going to distribute. If you need an envelope to be able to give your tithe to the Lord, Craig is going to give you an envelope. Just keep your hand up, and he'll pass that out. You can still give electronically if you prefer to do that through PushPay, and you have the app downloaded to your phone. Otherwise, you can give online as well. Whatever method that you choose to give to the Lord this morning, whether it be your tithe or the alms or a freewill offering, we just ask that you do it with a cheerful, thankful heart. Do it in faith, amen? Yeah. And you can give more than one cracker if you like. We need some more envelopes back here. Awesome. And if you see a unfamiliar face sitting next to you or around you, would you please greet them in the name of the Lord? Bless them. Give them a hug and a warm handshake and welcome them. And if you're a guest, our culture at the Ark is one to be givers. We believe that the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if somebody gives something to you, it might be a cracker, I don't know. But if they choose to give something to you, we just ask that you receive that as a blessing because we are blessed to give. We are so blessed. Amen. Maestro, when you're ready, go ahead. Bugs. bowling? All right, would you just do this? Would you extend your faith towards your giving? And we're going to bless it. Father, we just thank you that you're so faithful to us, Lord, and you're so good. And the way that you set up your word makes it simple for us to be able to respond and obey and know that you're a God of your word and that you will do what you promised. Lord, we thank you that you said that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we would not be able to contain it. I thank you, God, that on the people who have given and their hearts are in faith, Lord, to be able to believe that that is what you are going to do, that you will pour out a blessing upon them, that they will not be able to contain it, that there will be so much abundance and overflow that they will have to give to other people and supply other people's needs, God, and sow into other fields. We just thank you that you said that you would rebuke the devourer on our behalves, that he is not going to be able to destroy what we have or take from us, Lord, but you're going to allow us to keep the things that you've blessed us with to use for your glory, and you're just going to allow us to be living in that blessing, Lord. Thank you for providing for the Levites. Thank you for providing that there is meat in your house, Lord Jesus. We love you. We give you praise and honor and glory this morning. Bless your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Without further ado, I get to introduce my favorite person in the whole wide world, the hottest pastor there ever was. No, I'm not lying. Because he is. And I love him. So welcome, Pastor Jake.
Oh, she said you didn't pay me to say that. That's true. I didn't. I just let her live in my house. Well, hey, it's so good to see you guys. I love all the sun-kissed faces and shoulders and everything. So great to have you guys here. Those that drove in from other places, some of you from the windward side, some from not quite as far, like Kapolei area. We got some people that reside in Makaha, and they always drive all the way out to Kaneohe, and it's great to have all of you with us. We're so glad that you're here. There's some that didn't make the trip out here, and that's totally okay. That's their choice, but we're glad that you're here. You know why? You're not going to be the missing ingredient in your miracle. And God is going to bless you today. You're going to be so touched by the word of God, not just because I'm preaching it, but because it's true. The word of the Lord is always true. And before we get too far and get into the message today, can I just say that it's been a wonderful time at this Ark Church family glamp. It's been amazing. It's been a great time here. And would you guys, even those of you that did not come and participate in the camp, would you give our camp coordinator, Dre Cranley, a huge round of applause? Just, man, we just appreciate you so much. We all had a great time. It was an amazing time at the camp. It's going to continue on. We do need to be out of here by 2:00 today, so I need to get started preaching so that I can make sure we get you out to lunch and then on to packing and getting out of here on time. Brother James, thanks for driving all the way out here from Rainbow's Land. He lives over by Rainbow Drive-In, and I'm surprised you're not 500 pounds, but, you know, close. Well, I hope that you guys are ready for a great word from the Lord. Jeanette, it's so good to have you here with us. We're going to make sure that we pray for you today. Jeanette came with a need for her physical body. She needs God to heal her. And how many of you know that our God is a healer? Yeah. Amen. He doesn't just heal. He is the healer. He is not just a physician. He is the great physician. If he formed us in our mother's womb, and he did, he knows how to put us together. He knows how to put us back together when we've fallen apart in some way. And so we're going to believe God for her miracle today as well. Would you guys just join with me in a quick word of prayer? I had a prayer request come in from a friend of mine in Arizona. And her niece is about to undergo some massive surgery for some cancer stuff. How many of you know that that it's not God's will for people to pass on before their time? This is a young girl. She has not reached her length of years, and we're going to contend for her to get healed. Would you just join your hearts with me? I believe that there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit of God. Father, today, we just come before you and ask for mercy. God, we ask you for grace. We thank you for healing, Lord God. We thank you that you're a merciful, great God. And Lord, even if she does not know you, I pray right now that the mercy of God would come upon her heart, upon her life, Lord God, and upon that family. Give them strength. Let faith begin to hit their heart right now. And God, if there's an opportunity for the salvation gospel to be preached to them, God, I pray that their hearts would be open, that their eyes would be opened, and that the veil would not be before their eyes, but that you would take the veil from before them so that they were able to see the glorious light of the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray healing. We pray skill over the doctors. And Father, we pray that even if you would do a miracle before that day, that in the pre-op checkups, Lord God, that they would find that there would not be any trace of cancer in that body. But God, we pray for deliverance for her from that. We thank you that you said a man's years shall be 70 years and 80 years by reason of strength. And then you said that we would live until we're satisfied if we go past that. So God, I thank you that you do this for this young lady, and let the testimony of God and a praying church come through in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As many times as the Lord might bring her to your hearts, would you please pray for her, contend for her. Don't just pray mamby-pamby little prayers, but prayers of contention, that if it was you or your loved one, that you would intercede, that you would stand in the gap. The Bible says that as God looks down the hedgerow, that he would look, and sometimes he wouldn't see somebody standing in that hedgerow, but we can be that person standing there in that gap to give intercession for other people. And if you don't know that that is also your ministry, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to give intercession for you and I. So we're not just praying for ourselves, but Jesus is praying for us. And I believe that we can do the same and walk in the ministry of Jesus as we pray for other people. Can you say amen to that? Well, I hope that you guys are ready to dig into the Word of God. And I've got such an encouraging word on my heart for you. We're not continuing on with our series about redefining culture in our church, but I had a one-off message that I felt like the Lord just really laid on my heart that every one of us needs. And so I'm going to preach that word to you today. Some of you might have a hard copy of the notes for your Connect groups this week. You're going to want to make sure that you fill those in. I know I don't have the screens up behind us today and everything, but praise God that you have your Bible or your electronic Bible or something. You're going to have to turn along with me because I'm going to read them out, but they're not printed out for you. If you don't have a hard copy of the notes, but you would like to take notes, you can feel free to do that on the side, or if you just go right to our app, it is available in our app, and you can just fill it in right there on the app itself, or you can download the notes later on from our website, or now if you want to via PDF so that you can fill those in. How many of you know that we can still preach amazing, powerful messages in a tent? Amen. We are the tabernacle of God, and so we're going to preach that today. Well, I want to talk to you about the fact that God does all things well. Would you look at somebody and say, God does things, all things well. God does all things well. He does all things well. But you know what? Whether you know it or not, you are in the process of undergoing a character assassination. Did you know that? You are in the process of undergoing a character assassination. If you don't know what that is, that means that someone is accusing you. Someone is trying to defame you. Someone is trying to convince a jury and a court against you that you are guilty for something. And if you don't know that you are being defamed, and if you don't know that you're under a character assassination, you might just let it happen. I want to give you some tools today to help you to not let that happen, but you've got to understand what the Bible says. I'm going to read to you first out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, out of the Amplified version of the Bible. When you're there, go ahead and turn there with me if you will. I'm going to have you turn to some scripture today. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, in the Amplified. You can read it in whatever version you've got. This is what the Bible says. It says, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. The King James Version of the Bible says, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. You know, whether you believe in God, whether you believe in a devil, doesn't make the difference as to whether or not they're real. I cannot believe, like, say, for instance, a lot of people in the world have never used a telephone. They don't even know what a telephone is. I know that's hard for us to imagine here in America. But people have not ever used a telephone. There are many people in the world that have never used a flushing toilet. But just because they've never used it, just because they've never experienced it, just because they don't even know whether or not it really exists, doesn't negate the fact that those things exist. Am I right? So you know what? We can convince ourselves all we want to that God is not real, that the devil is not real. But you know what? What if they are? And if they are, we better deal with it appropriately, because if not, things are happening and we're not even aware that it's going on. Do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. You know what that means? That means we can be ignorant of the devil's devices. Am I right? And the simple way of doing that is by having no knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And you know, knowledge is an important thing. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, I'm going to read this out of the English Standard Version of the Bible. You've got to understand this about the process by which things take place. I'm telling you things, and each Sunday we talk about certain things that we undergo and things that we experience, and I talk about things, and they resonate with your heart, and there's a reason why. It's because we all go through the same thing. This is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, it says this: no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. It says God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You'll be able to endure it. No temptation has befallen man except that which is common to man. In other words, we all go through the same thing. The devil doesn't keep inventing new things for new people. He uses the same things over and over and over again. And let me tell you why he uses the same things over and over and over again. Because they work. You don't need to keep inventing new ways of doing things that already work real well. You know how the devil, how I know how to counsel, as I've been a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for 16 years, and I'm not a novice at this thing. I've been full-time ministry for like 20 years now, and I can counsel every young man and every young woman before they get married or as they have interaction with one another. I can always counsel them this and feel so confident that I'm right on the money. Don't be alone with a member of the opposite sex. You know why? You know how I know that? Because I know that the devil doesn't give any temptation to people that is not normal for everybody else to face. In other words, if I struggled with temptation between man and woman when I was alone with a woman, I know that every other dude on the face of this planet struggles with the same thing. And you know, it takes two to tango. So that I know that the woman is struggling too. It's not just one person being weak. It's the way that it works. And if we are ignorant of the devil's devices, we will absolutely miss out on how to win. If you knew how to strategize, see, that's one thing about the Patriots football team. Do we got any Patriots fans in here? Oh, praise the Lord. You're all here. Oh, we've got one. All right, so here's the thing, right? There was a year that they were caught cheating. They demolished everyone, didn't they? They absolutely did. And they had talent and they had ability, but they also cheated. And you know what? If you cheat, you can win. And as long as you know the rules, you can cheat. You can't cheat if you don't know the rules. We have to understand the rules that we're playing by and that the cheater is trying to play against us. And when we understand his devices and we know the next move he's going to make, we can always counteract his move. If I know that I'm going to fall into temptation when I'm alone with a woman, guess what I do? Don't be alone with a woman. unless it's my wife. Then she can tempt me all she wants to. That's cool. But don't be alone with another woman that's not my wife. I know this already, so I don't put myself into that situation. You know, since the beginning of time, for those of you that are taking notes today, since the beginning of humanity, Satan has used the same tools and the same tactics to hurt and to harm God's best creation. That's humankind. Now, I know that maybe some of you might be animal lovers out there, and you're like, well, people are just animals too. We're all created equal. No, we're not. See, the Bible says that God created us in his image. God didn't create any other animal in God's image. God created humankind in his image. We're not the same as other animals. Plus, we have an opposable thumb. Hallelujah. How many of you are thankful for the opposable thumb? I'm thankful for it. I can drink my coffee more easily that way. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says this. You're probably familiar with it, but it says this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Did you know that you are under accusation day and night, night and day? Before God himself? Somebody is accusing you. You are in the process of a character assassination, and you might not even know it. Man, if you don't know how to defend yourself about that, you are going to get assassinated. It's important that we understand that we are being accused. In fact, isn't it interesting that the devil himself has that title, the accuser of the brethren? That is his title. That's what he does, like prosecuting attorney or attorney general. It is his title, the accuser of the brethren. You are being accused. That's what he does. So I want to tell you that it's important that you know that so that you don't fall into the same traps as always. You've heard me say it, and I don't know who quoted it first, but you've heard me quote it before. If you don't know who you are, you'll live like someone else. If you don't know who you are, you'll live like someone else. If people keep telling you who you are, you're this, you're that, you're the other thing, and you don't really know who you are, you're liable to live by the way that they say that you are. You know, the devil might be accusing you of this, accusing you of that, telling you that you're this, telling you that you're that. And if you don't know who you actually are, you might tend to believe him and live according to his ways. The devil wants you to become hopeless. Well, let me say this. Satan wants you to think of yourself in a way that's condemning, depressing, lacking, and without value. Has anybody ever felt that way before? Depressed, condemned, without value? I'm raising my hand because I'm one of those people. I've thought of myself that way. Lacking. Somehow, if I just had something, if I'm missing something, I don't know what it is. If I just had something, I could be something. You're not lacking. You're under attack. That's right. The devil wants you to become hopeless and to begin to despair. Let me tell you why he wants you hopeless. It's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. If you get a chance, turn there real quick. You ought to highlight this scripture. You ought to hold on to this scripture. You ought to memorize this scripture. Hebrews chapter 6, 19 says this, we have this hope as an anchor for our lives, safe and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. This hope we have is an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, is what the King James Version of the Bible says. You see, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations, your memories, those things need to have an anchor. How much good is an anchor if it can't anchor to something? If you don't got enough chain, if you don't have enough length of rope in order for your anchor to hold on to something, your anchor is worthless. But we have an anchor that anchors to something. It's something within the veil. What that means is, and I don't have time to go into it, but it goes into the presence of God. Our soul, when connected to the presence of God, creates a fixed anchor point so that our emotions are not thrown around, so that our mind is not thrown around into a place where we can't grab a hold of it, where it cannot break loose, where it's fixed. And even in the middle of a storm, we're going to be all right. You see, we need an anchor of our soul. When we lose hope, this is what happens. Our emotions start to go adrift. We're lost in a storm. That's what happens when we don't have an anchor for our soul. We get tossed around. We get thrown around. Whenever the wind and the waves and the storms come, you're at the mercy of the storm. But not if you've got an anchor. Not if you've got an anchor. You need hope. You need hope. So here's the thing, is that our hope, when we lose our hope, we find our life and our emotions in a drift. We can't afford to lose the courtroom battle that we're in. The accuser of the brethren is sitting before or standing before the God of all creation, the sovereign God, the judge of all, accusing us, and we cannot afford to lose that courtroom battle. The only way that we win is by knowing who we are. Can I talk to you today? I just needed to set that up for a moment. I know that was a little bit heavy, but can I just talk to you today about, I want to give you an anchor. If somebody gave you a Christmas present, they should give you an anchor. That would be the best present that you could have. I want to give you an anchor today. I want to help you to restore hope into your life. Now, if you'll listen to me for the next number of minutes, I want to restore hope, and it's not the hope that I have. It's the hope that God wants to deliver into your hands. I want to ask you to not just listen with your mind and not just listen with your ears, but I want to ask you to listen with your spirit. As I'm talking, the Bible says that as the word of God goes forth, the Bible talks about how faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so if you'll listen in the right place, right down here in like in the pit of your stomach, you know, when you did something wrong before and you just felt sick to your stomach, that's the place where your spirit is. That's your conscience. And if you'll listen to me today from that place, faith will hit your heart. And hope will come, and your anchor will start to get fixed. In Mark chapter 7, verse 37, if you can turn there real quick. You got to turn there, and I hope that if you don't highlight things, I hope that you start to highlight stuff. You need to highlight things in your Bible. Mark chapter 7, verse 37. And it says this, "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well." Say this with me. He has done all things well. You know, I don't know that we actually believe that, so let's say that again. He has done all things well. When you don't believe something, especially when it comes out of the Bible, you just need to keep on saying it to yourself until you convince yourself that that's true. He has done all things well. I don't know about you, but there's times where I've felt like he done messed up with me. What happened? How come everybody else got all the talent and all the good looks and all of the ability and all the money and all the friends and all the this and all the that? And what happened to me? But you know what? He's done all things well. That means that the person sitting next to you, God made them well. You know that person that you see in the mirror every morning and it's like, oh my gosh. Like, he did that well. You have to understand who God is, that God has done all things well. There's not one mess up. He's never screwed up, not ever once, not even once. When he chose you, he didn't mess up. He knew what he was doing, even when you didn't think he knew that he was doing what was right. He does all things well. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to go through some scriptures quickly, and you can catch up if you can. Genesis 1, 26 says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You see, you are made in the image of God, and God is perfect. I mean, if you need to, you can go back and listen to the last couple of messages that I've been preaching, but God is perfect. And if you are made in the image of God, he made you perfect. He made you in the image of perfection. Yeah, but I have a fallen nature, but you don't have to have one. You don't have to keep that nature. You can switch natures. If you were born wrong the first time, just get born again. It's all good. Just get born again, and you can have a brand new nature, equal in quality with God. Now listen, before you start picking up rocks and throwing them at me, thinking, how is this guy saying you can be equal with God? Look, Jesus said, or the Bible says about Jesus, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But that was Jesus. Yeah, but Jesus said, you're my brother. If I know anything about anything regarding DNA, brothers and sisters have the same DNA. That means that you and Jesus have the same DNA. And if Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God and you're the same DNA as Jesus, well, that means that it's not robbery for you to be equal with God. The Bible says, know you not that you are God's? I know it's a small g, but it's the same word as in the beginning, God. Same word. Not a different word. It's the same word, Elohim. Same word. Don't you know that you are made in the image of God? Man, if we would just get that, if I could just stop preaching right there, and we could just sit down for a little while and think about that and be like, I'm made in the image of God. Like, what does that look like? You mean that when there's nothing and there's chaos in my life? Because that's what the Bible says. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. What that means is it was in chaos. And when there was chaos, all God did was he just spoke and he said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, order began to come into that world. So if I'm in the midst of chaos in my life, and I'm made in the image of God, and God spoke into the chaos and order came, maybe I should start speaking into my chaos. Maybe I ought to just start calling things that be not as though they were. Let understanding come. I don't understand what's going on, God. I'm in chaos right now. Understanding come in Jesus' name. You see, if you were made in the image of God, and you are, if we would get a hold of that, our life would be so differently lived. Because we wouldn't live below, we would live above only and not beneath. We would stop being the tail and we would be the head only and not the tail. We would stop being the darkness of the world and we would be the light of the world. We would not be the salt that lost its savor, but we would be the salt of the earth. We would be the city that's built on a hill that cannot be hid. Not because we're so unique and special, but because we're made in the image of God. I didn't do that. He did that. That's not my fault. That's his fault. But I'll take it. Genesis 1:31 says this, then God saw everything. Listen, everything. That means not one exception. God saw everything he had made, and indeed, listen, it was very good. Look at somebody next to you. Tell them, you are very good. You are very good. I mean, parents, what would happen if we looked at our kids and we said, you are very good. You are very good. You're sleepy, but you're very good. God looked at you when God created humankind. He looked at him and he said, it's very good. Come on, that's very good. I'm excited to have God stamp a very good upon me. I need that in my life. I'm not rubbish. I'm very good. In God's estimation of quality, I'm very good. Woo! I'm encouraged. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 says this, look, even though God had finished saying, I looked at it all, I see how it all is, I created it this way, and look, it is, oh, it's so good. So good. God's like, man, I did a good job. Check out what happened with the lady here. Genesis 3, 6 says this, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it, of its fruit, and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Can I just tell you, the reason why she ate was because she thought she was missing something. If you read back to what the serpent told her. He told her it's a fruit to make one wise. And when you eat it, you'll be like God. Obviously, she didn't know who she was. He didn't know who he was because he ate it too. Because if they knew who they were, they would have understood that they were, Genesis 1:26, already made in the exact image of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. They didn't need more wisdom than they already had. They had all of the wisdom of Almighty God already. But somehow, the devil got in her ear and started telling her, you need something more. You need something more. You need to eat this fruit because then it'll make you wise. And so the whole thing, the whole sin problem started from somebody not knowing who they were and thinking that they were lacking when they were completely, thoroughly furnished unto good works. You know, the only time that we start looking for something is when we have a need. We don't necessarily need the thing that we find. Like, sometimes we have an emotional need, but somehow a new bag seems to fill that need. Sometimes we have a need for water, but our body knows that there's water in a Rainbow's plate lunch, so we go and have that instead. Gravy's made with water. Sometimes we've got this kind of like corrupted database, if you will, that instead of seeking the thing that we actually need, we've found ways of getting trace elements of it somewhere else. Now, I know that's a little bit of nutritional speak, but here's the thing. When we realize that we need something, instead of going to the presence of God, sometimes we seek other things. When we're stressed out, instead of running to Jesus, what we do is we seek entertainment. When we're having an issue with our spouse, instead of running to Jesus, maybe we run to pornography. Maybe we run to the company of another person. Maybe we leave the very situation that we cannot fix without staying there. Is this a little too hard? You guys okay? You're kind of quiet. You know, I only know that I'm getting close to home because there is nothing that has befallen man except what is common to man. I only know what I'm talking about because I'm there. Because I know that sometimes I don't want to face up with situations, so I go into a vacation instead. If I go on vacation, I don't need to think about my bills. But you know what? They're there when I come back, aren't they? In fact, probably bigger bills. But you know, what would happen if instead of seeking something to fill something where we feel a lack, we would come back to Jesus and say, tell me how good you made me. Tell me how great you made me to be. Do you know that he has done all things well? You're not lacking anything. You might not be the same as somebody else, but you're not lacking anything. Whoever you are, whoever God created you to be, you're not lacking anything. If you were a car, you don't have a big hole in your dashboard somewhere. You have different instrumentation than someone else has. But you know what? You are thoroughly furnished for who you are. You are complete for who you are, who God wants you to be. You cannot afford to lose hope and begin to search for something that will not fill a need that doesn't actually exist. Isn't that funny how the devil tells us that we're lacking when we're not? And we choose to believe him instead of checking with the one who made us? Satan managed to convince Adam and Eve that they were lacking something and that the answer was found outside of the will of God, his perfect design. Isn't that interesting? Oh, there's no way that I can get what I need by doing it God's way. I got to do it a different way. I have to do it a different way. Can I just tell you, that is a common, common lie from the devil. Anything that you need, God will provide. Not only will he provide it, if you know your Bible, you would know he already provided for it. That's what's called provision. Pro is before. Vision is what you see. Before you ever see it, he's already provided it. That's what the whole thing of provision is. God knows what you have need of before you know that you have need of it, before you ever ask. Read your Bible real quick. God knows what you need. He already provided it for you. You know, Satan will always try to convince you of this one thing, that you are not enough. Isn't it funny how the enemy of our soul, the accuser of the brethren, will always tell you you're not enough? Taylor, you're enough. Just like you are, you're enough. Christel, you are enough. James, you're enough. You're not lacking anything. You are enough. And the devil tells you you're not enough. You know what he tells me? He tells me you're not enough. You don't even deserve to be standing up there preaching. Yeah, I know that. I didn't choose me. Thank you very much. God chose me. Not my fault. I wouldn't have chosen me, but I must be enough. If God chose me, then I must be enough. I might not be what I want to be, but I'm what God wants me to be. You know, the devil will try so hard to convince you that God created you lacking in some way and to cause you to search for something to make you enough. Do you think that God could not create you to be enough? That you need something else besides him? The devil always wants you to think that you need something else to be enough. Many times, here's the thing. It's something that God has specifically told you to not do. Oh, it's so interesting. I know I'm getting into the devil's playbook here. But so many times, it's something specifically that God has told you to not do. And you just can't see another way. You just can't see another way. But check it out. They needed more wine at a wedding. They didn't have none. So what would it take for them to be able to have what they needed? Oh, nothing much, just a miracle. Do you know it'll take a miracle for you to have what you need? But let me ask you this. Why would you want it any other way? Why would you want it to be you when it could be God? Why would you want to be your source when God can be your source? Why would you have to rely on you and your inabilities when you could rely upon the infinite ability of the God who created you? If he made you, he knows what you need. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, can I beg you, please, don't buy into the accusation and don't buy into the lie. You have to sell out in order to believe it. Don't sell out to what the devil's been telling you. Don't give into it. And the thing is, listen, he's accusing you day and night and night and day. Can I tell you, leave your helmet of salvation on all the time, like 24/7, so that when you start having dreams in the night that show you that you're not enough, you're like, no, that's not God. I am enough. You've got to keep that helmet of salvation on. He's going to attack you day and night and night and day. There is no point at which he's going to stop attacking you, so you've always got to be on your guard. Can I also tell you that the best way to fight it is that as often as you're being accused, you need to put the truth in at least as often, because whatever you hear most, you're going to believe. You move in the direction of your most dominant thought. So here's the thing. If the accuser of the brethren is accusing you of not being enough day and night, well, you ought to at least put something in that tells you you are enough both day and night. I only think about you night and day. Two times a day, right? Day and night. This is what I do. I choose to fight the lies of the devil with the truth of God. Otherwise, it's not just positive thinking. It's not just mind over matter. It's not just motivational speakers or any of that stuff. It's about the truth. Because you can't combat a lie with a lie. You have to combat a lie with the truth. That's what Jesus did. He combated the lie and the misappropriation of the word of God with the living, true word of God. And we've got to learn how to do that. This is how I do it. You can do it the same way if you want to, But I've started doing this because over the last number of years and months, I've been under some attack about whether or not I was good enough, whether or not I could do things, and whether or not you realize the pressure that a pastor is under when somebody leaves the church or something like that. I take it personally. And in some ways, I'm learning to get past that. But can I tell you something that somebody who is beginning to mentor me in my life, who's been in ministry for like over 40-something years, told me? He said, every attack in the ministry is a personal attack. You feel it personally. And it's not just how you perceive it. It is personal. Because the devil wants to derail you from your ability to minister and to go into shutdown mode. You know, if you begin to feel that even in your best attempts to be a blessing to somebody else, you hurt people, you're not going to want to do anything. You're not going to want to try to be a blessing to people around you. You're not going to want to minister to anybody. It is absolutely a personal attack. So here's what I do. Some of you know that we already have this out there, and you can go on our website and download it or whatever. There's this list that's called the I Am List. And I believe it's 57 things that the Bible says to you about who you are. And it has a scriptural reference for every one of them. It's not positive thinking. It's not motivational speaking. It's what God says about you. And I literally, you can ask my wife, I literally take this list and I've printed it out. I've got one upstairs and I've got one downstairs. And every morning and every night, I read this list out loud to myself. Because I want my voice to ring in my ear, the word of God to me about who I am over what the stinking devil tells me I am. He's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning, and the truth is not in him. So I got to put the truth in me, because he sure is trying to talk my ear off about who I am. I'm not going to stand for it. Day and night, I figure that's enough for me. Day and night, and every time in between that I feel like I need it, I just break out that list. It says, I am a child of God. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I am blessed coming in. I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Everything that my hands touch is blessed. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a city built on a hill that cannot be hid. I am a child of God. I am heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I am accepted in the beloved. Man, you can't go on like that for a few minutes without feeling encouraged. You can't go on for a few minutes like that without getting your hope attached to an anchor that's inside of the presence of God. You know what I'm saying? I bet you the devil's talking to you. I bet you he's talking to you day and night. But if you don't know how to fight the fight, you will lose. You cannot afford to lose this fight. That's why Christians committing suicide, that's why Christians losing hope, that's why the Bible says, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Christians fainting all over the place. Why? Because they're being accused about all these things, that they don't serve a good God, that they're not enough, that they'll never amount to anything. There's no way that you in a tiny little bunch of islands in the middle of the ocean can make a difference in the world. Lie. Remember, the devil is a liar. And if he's talking to you, he's lying. Period. You know, it's like, how do you know that a politician is lying? They're talking. Right? It's like that. But it's the devil. How do you know the devil's lying? He's talking. If he's talking, the Bible says he's the father of lies and the truth is not in him. That means it is not possible for him to tell the truth. Even if he wanted to, he can't. It's not in him, but the truth is in God. In fact, Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. By the way, Jesus and the Word are synonymous. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God said, I used to speak by my servants, the prophet, but now I speak by my son. And that's the word of God. I think that we need to get a reconnection to the word of God to define who we are instead of listening to the devil. Amen? Sorry, that's not in the notes. You got bonus footage. I'm almost done. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. It says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." So in other words, he potteried this guy, like formed him out of the dust of the ground, out of the clay, out of the dirt. That's what Adam means, man of dirt. He formed him out of the dirt of the ground, and he was full and ready to go. He looked right. And then it says, "And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." This is not just a creation anecdote. This is not just a way to explain how humanity came into existence. This is about a living God creating all of creation in winding up with who you and I are. And he took the very life force that's in him and breathed it into man. And here's the thing, is that Adam was perfectly formed, but wasn't everything that he was intended to be. He was a lump of dirt. Maybe a good-looking lump of dirt, but that's all he was. He was a dead lump of dirt on the ground until something happened. God came along and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You know, if you want to experience your maximum potential in your life, you have to receive God's own breath and his own life to live inside of you. Without that, my friend, you are on your own. But with the breath of God in you, you're more than a lump of dirt. With God's life on the inside of you, you're more than just a piece of clay on the ground. You have the life force of God himself, made in the image of God, with the potential of God living on the inside of you. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Saturday Night Live sketch. That was Jim Carrey, who was a lifeguard for a hot tub. But if you haven't, it's pretty funny. I think it's pretty clean. I don't think there's any swear words in there. But he's a lifeguard for a hot tub, and there's this guy who's, it was Will Ferrell in the video, and he's like in the thing splashing around and everything, and Jim Carrey as the lifeguard thinks that he's drowning, but he's very much alive, and comes over to him, grabs him, wrestles him, and starts trying to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation while he's still alive and still breathing and functioning. And he's like fighting Jim Carrey off of him, and he's like, "I'm okay, I'm okay." Can I just say, don't fight off God when he's trying to give you CPR? When God's trying to get his breath of life into you, don't fight him. So many times we resist what it is that God's trying to do in our life. I got one question. Why? When God is a good God, when he's got the best thoughts towards you, when he's the one who created you and knows you, when he knows what you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to be going, when he has good thoughts and plans and future for you, all these things. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on about the character of our God. Why do we fight him when he's trying to get his breath and his life into us? Sometimes we want that fruit more than we want Jesus, yeah? But you know what? You're not lacking. The only reason why you want the fruit is because you think that you're lacking, but you're not lacking. You just got to go to the source where you get everything that you need, and that's the presence of God. You know, Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says this, "But Jesus looked at them." You can, if you want to imagine it right now, Jesus is looking at you. And he says, "With men, it is impossible." See, you might be called to something that you cannot do. In fact, if you're going to live by faith and not by sight, if you're going to walk by faith because the just shall live by faith, if you're going to live that life, faith is beyond what you can do. And with men, it is impossible. So you're called to something that you cannot do. And you know what? You've got two options. You can either go after the thing that the devil tells you is going to make you enough to be able to complete your task, or you can run after God with everything that's in you. Can I just suggest that running after God is the correct answer on the test? It's an open book test, by the way. All you have to do is go to the book and start reading in it and it'll tell you exactly what you ought to do. With men, it is impossible. For you, impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. All we need is to let him in. We just need to connect to the one that created us. All we need is to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, I know some of the things that the Bible might tell us to do seems a little bit strange, foreign, funny, whatever. That's just because we need to come up to see that God's trying to get something across to us. Then whatever the mechanism by which that happens is okay. Let me give you an example. I was having some back problems a while back, and yes, I fasted, yes, I prayed, but I also did my due diligence when it came to wisdom and health. And I thought it was a little strange to have someone stab needles into my body, right? But I was desperate to get my back feeling better. So what did I do? I let someone stab needles into my back with acupuncture. Thank God they were small needles, right? Did some acupuncture stuff. It didn't help, but I thought, give it a shot. See, sometimes there's some things that seem like they're wild. For some people, acupuncture really helps. It didn't help me. But you know what? I was willing to give it a shot. I think sometimes when we come into church and we're like, oh, why are all these people so excited? So excited. They're all raising their hands. You know why? Because that's what God says to do. Why would we not raise our hands when that's an expression of surrender towards God and excitement and aggression in some ways, in a good way, towards God? Check it out, right? How many of you want God to give you his best? Lord, take note of all those that said, no, I'll take whatever he gives me. I want God to give me his best. I figure the best that I can do or the same that I could do is to give God my best. Not reserve my energy, not reserve my strength. Oh, but I'm going to get sweaty. Yes, I'm going to get sweaty. I'm going to sweat it up for Jesus. You know why? Because I'm going to give my all so that I can get his all. That's why I get down on the floor and stuff, whatever. When it's dirty, I don't care. I can take a shower. But if God wants me to do that, then I will do that. I will go without food for Jesus. You know why? Because I want everything that he's got for me. I don't need to have the devil telling me who I am. I need God telling me who I am. The devil didn't make me. God made me. And I'm telling you right now that you got to win this war. You cannot afford, my friend, to lose this fight. You cannot lose this court battle. You cannot find yourself in spiritual jail. It's not going to work for you. You need to be able to be everything that God has called you to be. The world needs you, and it needs you the way that God created you to be. You cannot lose this battle. Can you say amen to that? How many of you feel a little bit hopeful about who God created you to be? Let me give you one thing, just one thing. If you'll remember this one thing, it could absolutely change your life forever. If you'll remember this one thing and put this thing into practice, God does all things well. This, by the way, is the way that he made you. He made you well. He made you well. I'm going to look around the room real quick. I'm going to look you all in the eyes if your eyes come up. God made you well. He made you well. I mean, I do this sometimes because the Bible says that the eyes are the window to the soul. Go ahead, look into my soul, and I am absolutely, thoroughly, 100% completely convinced that God made you well. He made you well. He didn't mess up when he made you. He made you well. He did a good job. And I'm awfully glad that you're here today because you needed to hear the fact that God loves you, that however you are right now, it's not you're in process. You're not the way that you're going to end up. He's not finished with you yet, but he made you well. He didn't screw up when he made you. It wasn't like Twins or something like that, you know, where Arnold Schwarzenegger got all the good stuff and Danny DeVito was the leftover trash of the genetic pool. It's not like that. Some of you are like, man, Pastor Jake, you watch a lot of movies. Not really. I just remember a lot. I have a photographic memory that still has film. And, you know, the thing is that God created you well. Don't let the devil tell you that you're lacking. You're not lacking. Amen? I hope that you'll take up the challenge both day and night to fight for what God created you to be. That you'll look in that mirror, and as horrid as it might look, tell yourself who God created you to be. Amen? In just a moment, we're gonna close together, but I want to give an opportunity for anybody today. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you need to, this God who created you, this God who formed you and made you, I want to give you an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been struggling today, and I know this is going to be a somewhat broad altar call, but maybe you've been struggling with identity, and you've been struggling with feeling like you're not enough, and I know probably on some level all of us have, but I'm talking to you that you've been really struggling. I mean, it's been, the battle has been on, and maybe you've not been winning this battle, and maybe you've been on the verge, because I've been on the verge of quitting. I've not been on the verge of killing myself, but I've been on the verge of quitting. But I'm not a quitter. I can't find that one in the Bible anywhere. I am not a quitter. And I want to stand here today with you if you've been struggling with who you are and who God created you to be and the fact that God made you well. And maybe you feel like you're about to quit in some way. Maybe you're about to quit on life. I don't want you to do that. Please don't do that. There's somebody that needs you. Jesus created you for a purpose, and your purpose is not done yet. My friend, just because you've been through nasty things, that does not define you. It does not tell you that you're rubbish. You're coming through, and God created you well. He's got a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for your life that the Bible says is so good that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that are called and who are the chosen of God according to his command. Today, if you've been struggling, you've been on the verge, I want to pray with you that hope would be restored to your life and that you would find out for real who it is that you are. Finally, today, if you need healing in your body, if you're broken in your physical body or maybe even in your emotions, and you just know that you need God to give you a miracle today, I want to pray with you real quick in these last few minutes that we have together that God would come through. Today, if that's you, just real quickly, could I ask you to just come up front and just join me? I want to pray with you this morning. If you need Jesus, if you've never been born again and you need Jesus, if you've been struggling, if you've been on the edge, you've been on the verge, and you need Jesus to come through, and you need hope restored, we're going to walk it back from the edge. We're going to get into the center of God's plan and God's will. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. God did all things well. He did all things well. He created all things well. He did all things well. He didn't mess up when he made you, Brother James. He did all things well. Jeanette, he did all things well. And I'm so glad that you're here today. I believe God's going to begin to restore your body with a miracle. God, I just pray right now that you just begin to move as people are making their way up here today. For those of you, I think everybody up here knows Jesus, but can we just do this? I don't think it ever hurts to make a fresh declaration of our love and our commitment to Jesus Christ, especially in an atmosphere like this where God's beginning to heal. We've got to be his children for him to make those significant shifts in our life. So would you all, maybe all of you just want to do this with me? It doesn't make you less of a Christian to pray. It makes you more of a Christian to be dedicated to Jesus. But can we do this? You can just pray to the Lord and just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That he died for my sins. And that you raised him from the dead. I believe that he is the Lord of my life. Because I put him in that spot. He is my Lord. And he is my Savior. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I will be who he says that I am. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm just going to come around and pray for you. I'm just going to lay my hands on you. Here's why. The Bible says that hands are for blessing. And the Bible says that when we lay our hands on people, that we communicate something. It's called an impartation. And I want to impart to you this morning the grace and the mercy of God. If you need a healing, you just begin to receive your healing. If you need to walk back from that emotional edge, then you can just begin to walk that back. Right now, the hope of God is going to come into your heart. The strength of God is going to come into your heart. I don't know how better to explain it, but some of you are going to feel like there's a thing that comes up inside of you, and it's almost like your spiritual building was crumbling from the outside in, and your spirit man is just going to rise up, and it's going to begin to hold up the walls. The Bible says that I pray that you would be strengthened with might by his power in the inner man. So your inner man is going to wake up in Jesus' name. And he's going to fight back because you're not going to lose this fight. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, as I lay my hands on these, Father, I pray right now that you would just come and heal and deliver and touch. God, that the anchor of our soul would come to bear. Father, that the inner man would rise up and that hope would arise. Hope would arise. Hope would arise. He did all things well. He did all things well. God did all things well. And we believe it. Right now, in Jesus' name, let the grace and the mercy of God just come. That's it. I break it off of you. He did all things well, James. He didn't make a mistake. Nope. Nope. No, he didn't. But you're not going to lose this fight. Don't lose this fight. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're a child of God. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're a miracle worker, a water walker, faith talker, anointed by heaven, called, chosen, appointed, made in the image of God. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I just loose the touch of heaven on these two. Let the grace and the mercy of God just come right now. We walk it back, Lord God. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. Let it be an anchor to their soul. Brother Odie, I just feel like God's just going to begin to give you wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. I just feel like there's been a dark cloud over you over the last while. And I just see light just breaking through that darkness. I see rays of light just coming in. The Bible says, the entrance of your word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. God, I thank you right now that as he breaks open your word in a fresh, in a ravenous, desirous way, God, that your light would break through that darkness, and that wisdom would come in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You're more than enough. I don't know if you know this, but the call of God is on your life. You've probably been told that before, and it's not just because you're talented. It's not just because of your upbringing. It's not because of your socioeconomic. No. God just put his fingerprints on your life. And he called you. But you got to win this fight. And he made you well. And you're not lacking anything. All you need is Jesus. He's enough. And when you let Jesus come and shine through your life, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. Father, I pray right now for the solidity of heart. Let the grace and the mercy of God come. In Jesus' name. You just get around some people that believe in the call of God on you. You just get around some people that'll tell you, yeah, I believe it. Maybe nobody else can see it, but I can see it. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, let confidence arise, Holy Ghost confidence, in the grace and the mercy of God. You did all things well, God. You sure did. You didn't mess up. You know those sometimes strange feelings and emotions that you have? You're not messed up. It's just a fight. It's just a scrap. And you just put the word of God on the inside of you, who you are. You're going to win this fight. Ha, ha. You're going to have an anchor to your soul. We're dropping anchor today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now, we're coming back. Ha. Let the weights that so easily beset you, let them break off. There's no temptation that's befallen man except that which is common to man. God, I declare a change of lifestyle. I declare a change of desire. You don't need anything to be enough, JT. You don't need anything to be more than enough. God looked at you and he said, it's very good. He's very good. I know the voices have been saying otherwise, but they're wrong. God's right. He knows. He created you special, unique, appointed, anointed, set apart, sanctified, justified, with a destiny and a hope and a future, an expected end. He has an expectation of your life, JT. Father, I thank you that you just cause him to run. Cause him to run. No more baggage, in Jesus' name. Jeanette, I lay my hands on you in the name of Jesus. And that same anointing that delivered my wife all those years ago from migraines, that same anointing come upon you now. It's the same Jesus. Same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those hurts and those wounds in your heart, Lord God, the physical damage, I don't even know what all else, but God, I ask you right now for a physical overhaul, a mental overhaul. Father, you said that people wouldn't just get a touch of healing, but that they would be made whole. So, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that wholeness would come from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I thank you, Jesus. The effects that have taken place in those hard things, God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would walk it back, that you would reverse it. You reverse the curse, and you reverse it with blessing, oh God. Right now in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to put my hand on the back of your neck. I don't know if you have an injury there, but I just feel like God just said, just pray for your neck. God, right now in Jesus' name, I pray healing over this neck, that you would loose a miracle upon her. In Jesus' name, loose the miracle. Loose your touch, oh God.